Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
There's a high fly ball
from KMOX Sports.
That's it deep to left field, and it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado. There's a moment for you.
Welcome to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
Ooh. And the driving jam time.
And the Billikens win this one.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
Connect pattern caught. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Now, Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Hey, good to be with you guys on a Friday night. Kevin Wheeler with you on Sports Open Line here on KMOX. And we're going to start this hour with a lot more baseball and a lot more, I guess you could say, extended conversation on the news yesterday that the Cardinals are moving on from Mike Schilt. A few things I want to, we want to get through that, that are easier to get through and maybe easier to make points about when you have more time to get more information and to go back and listen to some older interviews and listen to some sound bites of what players had to say at specific times during the year. And that's something I've had a chance to do over the last 24 hours is kind of go back over some of this stuff so we can have a little bit different type of discussion. Like yesterday was a lot about, holy crap, this happened. What are our gut reactions? What are the things that can go into this? And it's kind of where I don't want to say where we left it, but that was kind of the beginning of it yesterday, right? Well, today we've had a chance. I have, and I know a lot of you have too, to not only think about it more, but to read into it more. I've gotten a chance to read the thoughts of more colleagues who I respect, both in town and out of town. And I've gotten a chance to get more text messages off to people that I know and, again, in and around Major League Baseball that have, you can maybe gain a little bit of insight here and there. And I think that what I've learned to, in the last 24 hours doesn't dramatically change the story from yesterday. But I do think we need to examine a few things. Okay. So let's start with kind of re-examining the why. Why did the Cardinals move on from Mike Schilt? And again, it's not one thing. I know we talked about this last night. I took your calls. And by the way, the calls are very much appreciated. A lot of different thoughts. And I just want to be clear. I want you guys to really challenge yourselves when you're thinking about something like this to not simply fall back on the axe that you have to grind. Because that's what people do all the time. You're mad about something. I don't like his bullpen management. That must be why he got fired. Well, I don't think the DeWitts spend enough money, so Schilt must have asked to spend more money, and that's why he got fired. Don't make it about your own perception. Try to take yourself out of it. And like, all right, what did we see throughout the year? What are the things that we heard throughout the year? And how do they all add up in retrospect? Yesterday was a long press conference. I mean, it was pretty close. I want to say it was 30 minutes, easy. So there was a lot to go through in all of that and a lot that I kind of had to go back and re-listen to. And there were a few things that stood out. Now, let's get into the bigger picture items I talked about yesterday that would lead to philosophical differences causing this decision to be made. So what are philosophical decisions that involve a manager, right? The manager is not involved in team payroll. Now, they can lobby for more help. They can lobby for more players. So perhaps that would be an element. I don't think we've heard that, but perhaps. But what we know about our that a manager is going to have input on, right, would be how players are used. Right? I mean, that's kind of it, right? The front office puts together the roster. Typically, it's the manager's job to use those players as best he can so that the team wins as many games as they can. So roster management would certainly fall under the area of philosophical differences. So what areas of roster management could have been things that led to disagreement? Well, certainly, I mentioned the Alex Reyes example yesterday, and I don't believe that it's this. I mean, I think there's no one thing. There certainly have to be multiple things that go into this. But there's, you know, the message that we got from the front office last offseason and in spring training was that they would, you know, what's the plan for Alex Reyes? So the plan is to try to get him around 100 innings. And to do that, you would need to treat him as a multi-inning reliever, somebody that's going to be throwing two innings, maybe even three at times, not pitching as often, but pitching more when he does pitch, with the idea that getting to around 100 innings would give you a better platform to leap forward off of to become a starter the following year. So that was something that was expressed pretty clearly by the team, and that's a case where the manager went completely in the opposite direction, where he's like, that's my closer. And he pitched as a closer, with a few exceptions late in the year after things had gone south for Reyes. But he ended up getting to like 71, 72 innings. So that's not 100. That's a pretty big difference when you're talking about building up stamina to be a starting pitcher in the major league. So that's the kind of thing it could be. But it could also be lineup structure and who goes where and what characteristics you want in which spots, how long you stick with players that are struggling, all those kinds of things, right? They could all play into that. You know, which bullpen guys you go to on a regular basis. Maybe going, again, could be going back to the same guys that are struggling too often. But these are all the things that fall under that umbrella. You've got the coaching staff, right? We've heard a lot, and I know a lot of people, I don't know what it is, man, but there's something about hitting coaches in this town that just drives people crazy. Like, it's always the hitting coach. It's always somehow, some way, the hitting coach is always controversial in St. Louis. I don't understand it, because what most of us do not know and do not get is exactly how it all works. Like, you have no idea whether a hitter is actually following the plan that the hitting coach is laying out there or not following it. You just don't know, unless a player is going to come out and say, yeah, I'm doing my own thing, or yeah, I'm doing exactly what they're telling me, or whatever. But again, it's not like telling you. It's more preparing you, you know, in a way to kind of get yourself to be in the right place physically and mentally when you're in the batter's box. But things that have to do with the staff, right? So a manager may want to keep some guys that the front office doesn't, or may want to get rid of some guys that the front office doesn't. And that was one of the conversations coming out yesterday, was there was a rift between Jeff Albert and Mike Shildt, and the front office sided with Jeff Albert, right? Now, we don't know that to be true, but we do know this. We do know that that John Mozeliak was asked about that yesterday, and his answer was that was, quote, not solely the problem. So the key words there, not solely, not the sole reason when he was asked about it. So in that answer, he's telling us that is part of it. Because if it wasn't part of it, the two answers would be, no, that's not it, or, yeah, I'm not going to get into that, right? So if that would be a weird thing, a weird mistake for an experienced front office guy like Mo to make, to say it wasn't the sole reason. If it wasn't a reason at all, I mean, if it wasn't a reason at all, you'd be like, no. Or, again, I'm not getting into that. But by saying it wasn't the sole reason for this philosophical difference, he is acknowledging that that's in there. So, okay, we can go with that. That's a potential. Now before I'm going to dig into that in the next segment, by the way, that whole Jeff Albert thing. And then there's another part of this philosophical difference, and that is the weight of the job that the manager has. How much weight does the manager carry? Does the manager want or believe he should have more influence, more say, more money, whatever, right? So we heard in the press conference yesterday that they hadn't really gotten into contract extension talks. But that doesn't mean that the idea was never discussed. I thought Bernie Miklas did a really good job of making that point today at scoopswithdannymac.com. It made that point, too, that he doesn't have to, you know, like saying it that way doesn't necessarily mean that there weren't like feelers put out or kind of broad discussions. It just means that maybe they didn't talk specific terms of a contract. But it could simply be that Schilt felt like, based on his success and the fact that he's been in the organization for 18 years, that maybe his voice should be more significant in all of these things. So, again, these are all the areas that it could be. And I'm guessing that it's probably a little bit of a bunch of them. I don't think it's one thing. And it's certainly not, you know, just one decision or one move or how one player was handled. But I want to dig into the Jeff Albert thing a little bit more next up, because one of the biggest misunderstandings of this season is surrounding the middle of the year when the Cardinals, quote unquote, recommitted themselves to offensive approach. And the perception that has been out there quite a bit is that what they all did was go away from what Jeff Albert had been teaching and go a different direction. The reality is, based on Katie Wu's fantastic reporting for The Athletic, that what they actually did in June and into July was recommit to the approach that Albert has been trying to get them to buy into. Let's get into that next on KMOX.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, so let's get into the hitting coach, because everybody hates the hitting coach. Again, I don't know what it is about hitting coaches that just like frustrates people. I do think that, and I'm sorry to sound terrible saying this, but I do think that's because so many people don't understand what the job of a major league hitting coach actually is. You flash back to your little league coach or your high school coaches, and they're enforcing things on you, and they're telling you, like teaching you mechanics. That's not how it works at the big league level. It's very different from that. It's much more independent. It's much more philosophical. I used to talk about this with John Mabry, where a lot of times you're even more psychologist than you are, you know, like hitting mechanics coach. It's a lot about mental preparation and understanding the opponent and, you know, that kind of stuff. And there's been, I don't know that there's been a bigger misunderstanding this season around the Cardinals than their offensive turnaround in midseason. So we all remember June was crappy, right? June was terrible. Cardinals were horrific offensively. A lot of heat on the players. A lot of players significantly underperforming. The team not scoring runs. I mean, we all remember it, right? So on June 24th, I want to play this Tommy Edman clip here. On June 24th, while they were talking about the offensive problems, Tommy Edman was asked postgame after an 8-2 loss to the Pirates, kind of what's going on. So I'm going to play the question so that you have the proper context for the answer. And we're going to talk about this answer and how I think this answer was very much misunderstood and misconstrued by a lot of people that follow the Cardinals.
Tommy, what were some of the things that you guys kind of identified that you could improve on? Because I know, like you said, a lot of the traits and a lot of the ingredients are there. But over the past few stretches, it seems like things have gotten worse before they get better.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few parts to it. One of the main parts is just kind of mid-game adjustments, knowing that if you don't necessarily have the at-bat that you want in the first time through the lineup, that there probably is going to be a good chance to get a run scoring opportunity later on, and just staying engaged and being aware of how the team is pitching us and how the team is pitching each person individually. And kind of going along with that, a little bit of that is preparation. the preparation that we talked about. I don't think we've necessarily done the greatest job of making a game plan for how guys are going to throw us day by day, and working on things pregame that are specifically tailored to prepare ourselves for that. So I think we're going to kind of start to implement a few more of those things into our pregame routines, and hopefully that helps us out.
Now, at the time, that quote got a lot of attention and raised my antenna for sure. And a lot of people were thinking that was kind of a shot across the bow at Jeff Albert, right? And if that's how you perceive this, right, that this is all Jeff Albert's fault, well, then that's how you would hear that quote. But if you think about it from another angle and say, what if he's talking about himself and his teammates as opposed to talking about the coaching staff or the hitting coach? It has a little bit different meaning there. Well, again, I would refer you to the reporting on this. Katie Wu had a whole story on this on October 3rd in The Athletic, where she got quotes from Jeff Albert, from Paul Goldschmidt, you know, from a lot of the hitters on the team, Tyler O'Neill, and they talked about their recommitment. The recommitment to Jeff Albert's principles. The headline of the story is, why the Cardinals recommitted to hitting coach Jeff Albert's philosophy and how it's paying off. Okay, so we had this narrative going that like, oh, yeah, midseason they stopped listening to Jeff Albert and that's when they started hitting. And the reality is the people involved say, no. What we did was recommit to these principles. And boy, that's when they started hitting. Right? That's July wasn't amazing, but it was better, and August was better, and September was even better than that. And I do think that that's an important thing to acknowledge. Again, this is a story that has comments from, you know, guys in the lineup, from Paul Goldschmidt, from Tyler O'Neill. It's not just, you know, a theory. It has comments from John Mozeliak in there about that same topic. And then I saw today, and again, there are a few people in town when it comes to baseball that I'm going to pay close attention to no matter what they write or what they say. And two of the big ones are my good friend Derek Gould and my good friend Bernie Miklas. And Bernie wrote this today. He wrote through all this, all at scoopswithdannymack.com, but he wrote through a lot of this story. But this one paragraph when it comes to the hitting coach really stands out. Bernie wrote this. I'm reading Bernie Miklas' words. I know this much. Goldschmidt likes and respects Albert. So does Nolan Arenado and the younger hitters. Mozeliak and DeWitt and others in the front office are thrilled, as they should be, by the booming offense in the minor leagues. The kids that embrace the modernized technology-aided Albert approach and are heading toward the big leagues ahead of schedule. So again, those are the words of Bernie Miklas. So here we have two separate stories that are saying the opposite of what the public narrative has been, which is Jeff Albert sucks. They didn't start hitting until they stopped listening to him, and he should go, not the manager. And this is why I always come back to this thing. You've got to stop seeing the world through your own viewpoint and step back. What do we know? What are other people saying? As opposed to, I think the offense stinks. That's the hitting coach. And anything that I see after that, I'm just looking for self-confirmation. I mean, if Goldschmidt likes and respects the hitting coach, that's a direct quote from Bernie. And you guys know Bernie long enough, man. He's not BSing you. He has no reason to. If Nolan Arenado likes and respects him, if the younger hitters, I mean, would you complain about the numbers that Dylan Carlson put up this year? And again, I would ask, so of all of the regular players in the lineup, who of them were real disappointments, right? Would you say that Yadier Molina offensively was a real disappointment this year, or would you say that he looked like a catcher nearing the age of 40? I mean, I would vote for option B there. He just looked like a catcher nearing the age of 40. At times, he was pretty fantastic. At other times, you know, slumped. But again, what would I expect from a catcher in his 17th year? Would you say that Paul Goldschmidt was a disappointment? I mean, I think the answer to that is no. Was Tommy Edman? I get maybe in some ways. I mean, I'd say, you know, in terms of on-base percentage, yes. But are you disappointed with the second most doubles in Major League Baseball this year at 41 or 30 steals? Again, offensively, he was not particularly great, and maybe he shouldn't have been batting leadoff. But I wouldn't call it a disappointment because it didn't look all that different than what we've seen combined for his career so far. But maybe, okay, maybe if you're being hypercritical, you could say that. Would you say that Nolan Arenado was a disappointment? I would say no. I'd say everything we saw from him is what we saw in Colorado, except translated to Busch Stadium, which makes it tougher on hitters. I don't think we would be disappointed with a rookie, Dylan Carlson, at age 22, being, what, 18, 19% above major league average. That's a good rookie year. Certainly not disappointed in Tyler O'Neill. I mean, if you're disappointed in Harrison Bader's end numbers, you're pretty silly. 785 OPS, and again, about 18, 19% above league average. So again, an above average hitter shouldn't be viewed as a disappointment, especially when he was coming from a question mark. So it leaves Paul DeJong, really, as the everyday player that really, truly did not achieve what he needed to. And then, of course, you could say Matt Carpenter, but I would tell you 100 times out of 100, that's all physical. Matt Carpenter started to decline when he started having back problems and started having oblique injuries. And oh, by the way, when he got into his mid-30s. So when those two things combined, he stopped hitting. I think that's pretty clear. So when we're looking at this, I mean, would you say that Edmundo Sosa underachieved? He was pretty good. As a starter, he was well above average as an offensive shortstop. So when we look at it like stepping back, are you really saying that any of these things were all that terrible? And by the way, if you're going to get blamed for DeJong, why don't you get credit for Tyler O'Neill? I mean, for as much as DeJong bottomed out, Tyler O'Neill exploded. And then when you get to the other point about Jeff Albert being in charge of the overall implementation of a hitting philosophy from the majors all the way down to rookie ball, and you look at the number of offensive breakout seasons they had in the minor leagues this year, from Nolan Gorman crushing at both AA and AAA as a 21-year-old, to Juan Yepes more than doubling his previous career high in home runs while playing at the highest level of the minor leagues for the first time in his career, or the reemergence of Nick Plummer as a prospect, a guy that had completely fallen off the face of the earth all of a sudden is a prospect again, or Lucan Baker, who went from a middling dude that really hadn't shown much to basically a 30-homer guy. Or Jordan Walker's breakout, or Alec Burleson's breakout. I mean, you can go down the list. There's all kinds of these guys that had big breakout years offensively for the Cardinals in the Cardinals minor league. Well, does he not get any? Is that not, I mean, he's in charge of all that. He's not coaching them all individually, but he's in charge of the hitting philosophy up and down. So if we're going to blame him for DeJong struggling, or Carpenter, if you really want to be, you know, hardcore, I guess. You can, but I mean, don't you understand that there's more going on here? So that's why I think this is all very interesting, because even though we had some loose acknowledgement from Mozeliak that is a part of all that went on, right? He said it's not the sole reason, but that implies that it's part of the reason, right? The Schilt versus Albert. I don't even know how to put it. Information gap? differing in philosophy, maybe. I mean, when we're talking about philosophical differences, maybe I should just put it that way. So that wasn't exactly as a lot of people wanted to portray it. Because when I'm listening to the players involved, when I'm reading the reporting on this topic, they didn't turn away from Jeff Albert midseason. They leaned into him. They went even harder core on that side and got better. So I just wanted to get through that, because I think that was important. And since this is apparently a part of this story, it would appear to be a part of how we could understand this moving forward. Now, again, I don't think that's the only thing. Mo said it's not the sole reason. I'm sure there are roster management issues that they'd like to be different with. Maybe it's pitching approach and being more aggressive with pitching changes or using openers or whatever. Maybe it is just simply how much influence the manager will wield within this organization. What I want to move on to next, though, is who's next? And what did the things we heard yesterday tell us about what we should expect when it comes to the hiring of the next manager of the Cardinals? We get to that next up here on KMOX.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Your home of the Billikens, Chiefs, and Cardinals.
I like sports. Listening to sports.
America's sports voice. KMOX.
All right, so in the days and weeks that come, we're going to find out more about the why when it comes to the Cardinals moving on from Mike Shildt. Again, I think we have ballpark reasons, right? I think we have the general vague concepts. You know, there clearly was some kind of philosophical issue with the hitting coach. I mean, that was it was as much as acknowledged in the press conference yesterday, again, with the answer being that was not the, quote, sole reason for the decision. But, yeah, I think between that, between the usage of specific players, and we don't know which ones, but certainly isn't just one. And again, maybe it was more ideas proposed for the future, too, that got some pushback from the manager. And I want to be clear, too. I don't know that I was earlier today, but I want to be clear on it now. I don't know if this was a good move or not. I'm still not sure. You know, we could end up, you know, with coming to the conclusion that it was a mistake to push Mike Shildt out, to let him go. But I don't, you know, it's hard to know that if you don't know the exact reason why somebody was moved. And it actually, you know, who knows? Maybe it ends up working. I mean, I think that's the hard part to know. And then if, you know, even if it does work, does it work because of the move or just because players played better? I mean, I know it's all very difficult to understand, but I'm in the I don't know category yet. I don't like the fact that he was fired, but I don't have anger about it either. All right, so let's talk about a little bit about what's next. You know, the first thing that happens when a move like this occurs is, holy crap, right? You get that immediate reaction of like, oh man, that's shocking. I didn't expect that. And we start to go into the thought process that we've been dealing with for the last 24 hours, which is, all right, what led to this? And obviously the next thing is, all right, who's next? Who should the Cardinals target, right? and you start seeing all these ideas floated out there. And some of them make sense, some of them don't. We had a caller or two last night that brought up, you know, hey, player manager with Yadier Molina. And obviously, I told you I shut that down. It has nothing to do with Yadi. It's just that those two jobs, everyday catcher and manager at the big league level, those two combined are too much for any person when it comes to how baseball is played in 2021. You can't do all of that. And also, let me ask you, do you think Yadier Molina is interested in talking to the press two or three times a day? Do you think he's interested in doing pregame press conference every day and postgame press conference every day and the manager's interview on the radio and TV broadcasts every day and going on MLB Network radio once a week and going on MLB Network every so often? I mean, do you think that's what he's into? Because I don't. I don't think he's into that. But even if he were, it's too much in the with the way the game works today. This is not like the 1930s or 40s where the manager would just be like, all right, these are my lineup. Go play, guys. And we're not going to make a pitching change because our pitchers all throw nine innings. It's too much information now. There are too many things. There's just too many meetings pregame. Too much stuff that a catcher needs to do to prepare every day. It's not realistic. So we should probably just not even bring it up. I mean, that's fairy tale stuff. Of course, the other thing we hear is, are they going to stay internal or are they going to go outside, right? And that part, I think, is an interesting question. I'm going to talk about that in a second. Then we get to the idea, we need a name. You need a proven manager to come in here to take the next step. And I'm going to ask you, does firing the current manager, who was in the organization for 18 years, who was a religious devotee to the Cardinal way, who had a book from George Kissel that he carried around with him everywhere, do you think that firing that guy for philosophical differences screams, we're going to bring in somebody that wants to do things their own way? Because Buck Showalter has his way of doing things. Bruce Bochy has his way of doing things. And I don't think that that's the direction that we're headed. Now, would it be okay? Sure. I think those guys are brilliant baseball men. Could they, you know, in the interest of getting back into the game, say, yes, I will go along with the organizational plan and philosophy and not vary from it? Sure. But, I mean, Bruce Bochy didn't get fired. He retired. And, you know, so did Tony La Russa, and he came back. So who knows, man? Maybe the fire gets reignited or something. But does that sound to you like what the team was talking about yesterday? Because it doesn't to me. When we're talking about firing a successful manager that had gotten you to the playoffs 3 years in a row with 18 years in the organization over philosophical differences, that doesn't scream to me, let's go get a big name guy who's been doing it a certain way for a long time and get him to do it our way now. What it screams to me is another internal candidate or an external candidate that fits the description of somebody that's going to be bought in on the organizational philosophically, the organizational philosophy, if I want to speak English. Got all those words jumbled up there. So I think what we're looking at are people in the organization now, and in particular on the staff, Oliver Marmol, Stubby Clapp. I know Pop Warner, Klaibs was smart to point him out yesterday too. These are three guys on the major league staff right now with managerial experience and extensive managerial experience at the minor league level. Stubby Clapp has interviewed for other major league jobs. I believe the one he interviewed for not long ago was Toronto, if I'm not mistaken. And Ollie Marmol is viewed by a lot of people, and this has been said for years, not just recently, but this was said even several years ago, that he's probably a guy that has a track towards a major league managerial job at some point. So you've got the in-house guys, and then there are outside guys whose names have been brought up. We're going to get into those outside names that could fit with what we heard talked about yesterday with organizational philosophy and one mind, one voice moving forward. We'll get to that next on KMOX.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, so final thing for this hour, and it's, you know, final thing for tonight, at least, on the Cardinals' managerial search that is underway. So I think it's fair to say that they have several internal candidates, but it would seem like the two internal candidates that make the most sense were both on the major league staff, Stubby Clapp and Ollie Marmol. And they both potentially have futures as managers, even if it's not in St. Louis. So these are two well-regarded baseball men, and if you're looking for somebody that already is kind of in on the meetings, if you will, and somebody that's already familiar with the front office, those would be two of the leading candidates. And if you look at, I think somebody sent me, I think Ben Boyd sent me the Vegas odds on the Cardinals managerial job earlier today, and they were two of the favorites. The favorite listed on the board, according to this, was Stubby Clapp. And I think they've got Ollie Marmol rated a little lower than he should be on that. They have Ollie Marmol behind Mark McGwire and Buck Showalter, which I don't think shows very much understanding of all of this. I think Marmol is going to be in your top three. He and Clapp, and then whoever else from the outside that they're going to think of. Now, let's talk about the outside guys. Who are people that are outside the organization now? Because we're not. I am for my own purposes ruling out the big names. I'm not saying they are. I'm saying for the purpose of this discussion, I don't think that's the track they're going to go. I don't see Bochy. I don't see Buck Showalter. Those don't they don't make a lot of sense to me based on what we know about how the Cardinals organization operates and also based on what we heard talked about yesterday, which is the idea of philosophy. We all need to be on the same page moving forward. And convincing a veteran manager to change everything is probably not all that easy to do. So outside of the internal candidates, who makes sense? I've heard Matt Holliday's name come up. It makes sense on some levels. I mean, he's a smart dude. He's a current coach. He coaches at Oklahoma State with his brother. You know, he would know the veterans in the clubhouse. He's obviously, you know, he knows Mozeliak. He knows the organization. There are things to like about that. I would bet against it just because if you're Matt Holliday, you really want that. His kids are about to go to college. If I'm not mistaken, one of his kids may be going to Oklahoma State. So, you know, there's good family tie there. Not to mention the fact that I'd have to look into this a little bit more, but I don't think players who made as much money in their careers as Matt Holliday did typically take managerial jobs. I mean, you made a lot of money to live a comfortable life. Do you really want to spend 8 months out of the year on the road dealing with the media every day and going through all that when, you know, you could kick back and coach in college and enjoy your kids maybe playing on the same team you're coaching? You know, I mean, I'm not saying no. It does make sense on certain levels. I'm just saying probably not likely. I've seen Carlos Beltran's name thrown out there. That makes some sense. I mean, he didn't play a long time with the Cardinals, but he is at least familiar with the front office and John Mozeliak. He was hired to be the Mets manager and lost that job because he was caught up in the Astros cheating scandal. But Alex Cora is managing tonight for the Red Sox in the ALCS. And A.J. Hinch is back managing in Detroit. So why wouldn't Carlos Beltran be back in the mix for managerial jobs? Again, you're talking about a new guy, forward thinking, you know, that kind of thing. New guy probably open to the kind of, you know, adapting to the philosophy that you're talking about. I think that makes some sense. But the one outside name that makes the most sense is Skip Schumacher. I mean, Skip was basically second in command in San Diego to Jace Tingler. You know, he came up through the Cardinals organization, was a major part of that team, a major part of the 2011 World Series championship. He's popular with the current veterans in the clubhouse right now. So if anybody's upset about Mike Shildt going, this, you know, having Schumacher step in would probably be perceived as a positive thing. He's viewed by people outside of St. Louis. I'm talking about major league executives. He's viewed by people all around baseball as a future manager. And with Jace Tingler getting canned, he might be available. I mean, he also might get the Padres job for all I know, but he makes a lot of sense on a lot of levels. Again, you know, very experienced as a major league player, not a lot of experience as a manager, but again, that one that could fit in with an experienced coaching staff with Mike Maddux on the pitching side, and obviously, you know, Jeff Albert still on the hitting side with Marmol and all those guys that we've already talked about in there. I think Skip would make a lot of sense. I've heard Mark McGwire thrown out there. I think he makes a lot of sense in a lot of ways. But two things. One, I'm not sure he wants to do it in part because of the media side of things. But also, do we think that Mark McGwire is going to come in to manage a team and let someone else's philosophy work for the hitters? Because Mark is a hitting coach first, and he was really good at it, and he's got a pretty specific way of looking at things. So that might not be the most smooth fit if you're talking about keeping a hitting coach around. And I'm not saying that McGwire would disagree with Albert. I have no idea. They might have a meeting of the minds and see things the same way. I'm saying that, you know, if you're buying into what a current hitting coach is doing, you know, a guy like McGwire has his own thoughts on offense, and given the numbers he put up in his career, and by the way, the success he had as a hitting coach for the Cardinals and in other places, not sure that that's the perfect fit. But maybe more than that, I'm not sure it's something that he's all that interested in at this moment. All right, a little more baseball to start next hour, then we'll talk a little Mizzou with Howard Richards coming up at 7:15 here on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.